what I call unfinished business, I guess, in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm having me a time there, so let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. We started looking at the armor we're to put on, and there's so many different venues that I want to go ahead and pursue as we look at that. Today's one that was interesting to me, and it was interestingly hit on in the missions conference we just had down there. I was given a couple profound illustrations again of this, and I thought I'd go ahead and lean on one of them. So Ephesians chapter 6, and let's go ahead and take our reading again, starting there in verse 10, and read down through a little bit where we see again the finally my brethren charge from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 6, you follow along in your Bible as I would read starting there in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Thank you, Dave. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. Notice that these are all plurals here. Principalities, powers, rulers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth. First piece of armor here is your loins girt with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Second piece of armor, we've looked at these two to understand that that's talking about your salvation. The truth of the gospel brings us to Christ, and Christ alone brings us to righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I almost want to preach what we looked at last week one more time and just talk about how important it is to tell someone else what happened to you. How important it is to share your testimony. How important it is to prepare your feet. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. And again, that's Old Testament and New Testament there. John 3. Nope, Romans 10, I believe. And so, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We emphasized again the importance of knowing the Romans road, being able to write that out and being able to recite that and then to give it to somebody. Once you're old, the Medicare people call me every day and I recite to them as much of John 3:16 as I can get in before they hang up on me. I like that better than hanging up on them somehow again, and it's a good exercise for me anyway. And so again, our feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. Third piece of armor, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, it says. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then verse 18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, praise you. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. And thank you, Father, that we could just dwell on it and learn some things about being a warrior, learn some things about being a soldier, learn some things again about preparedness. And Father, as we look at these things, I pray again that you'd bless your words, encourage our hearts, and Father, encourage us in the battle as well. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. So as we look here at this slide, I just incorporated this into this Bridge to Recovery Biblical Addiction Council. I've been putting it out on a Zoom recording again each Saturday here, and I'm up to number 11, and there's only 12 core truths, and so I'm thinking this thing fits so well with what we're looking at here that I'd go ahead and pull it up. Actually, I've been following some of what we cover here on our Sunday mornings in the putting on the whole armor of God, because certainly that's important for us. So this is a Bridge to Recovery Biblical Addiction Council. RBO Lett put it together, and I've been kind of following it and said, wow, this is good stuff. And said it's good discipleship stuff as well. So I'm putting it together here and covering it again in Zoom slides again that I put out. And so that's what this is here. So it's got these core truths, and core truth number 11 is my choices affect me and also those around me. Now, where Brother R.B. Olette was going again was that when you get involved in sin, it affects people around you. But where we're going with it here today is that our choices, the things that we do in worship, in church, is to affect those around us. And so I've gone back here through this and looked at, again, the importance of knowing our enemies just a little bit. Again, I tried to emphasize that as we read down through there. And then what we looked at last week here is sharing our faith, how important that is. A soldier must know his enemy, and then a soldier must be enlisted in the right army, looking at, again, the salvation. Such an important thing. Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What do you suppose that means? I think it means something like, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And make sure you know that you know that you know that you're saved. We've heard it said so many times, and we heard it at Chilai over and over again, that a lot of people are saved because they were told by their mama that they got saved when they were three. And listen, that don't count. I don't know, what's your salvation testimony? I don't know, let me ask my parents when I got saved. No, listen, we need to know when we got saved. And we need to be able to give a testimony. Notice again, and I mentioned this before, is that I questioned a deacon in a Baptist church, so when did you get saved? And he said, well, I've always believed in God, and I just believed more and more and more until eventually I'm saved. Listen, Jesus said being saved is like being born. And you don't get born a little bit every day for 3 years until you're here, okay? That don't work. And so the illustration that Jesus gives and the verbiage that is used about salvation is called being born again. It's called being converted. Except ye be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Except ye are converted, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so certainly we understand that this new birth is something that happens to us to the point where one day, if we were to die, we'd be charging right into hell. But the next day after we got saved, if we were to die, there's such a change wrought in our soul that now we'd be going to heaven. And if you don't have a day like that, if you can't nail down a day like that, then you need to, again, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because we need to understand that salvation process, the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, And then we emphasized again, a soldier must be enlisted in the right army with truth, righteousness, and then feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One of the first things, again, that we like to advise, I may have put that hand picture in here or not, is that we, again, have things that we do when we get saved. And so I like to, again, just hold up a hand and say, hey, you got saved by reading your Bible, keep reading your Bible. You got saved by praying, talking to God, keep talking to God. You need to go tell someone else what happened to you, that you got saved. And again, you need to join a Bible-believing church. You need to join a Bible-believing church, and you need to join a Bible-believing church. We're going to camp right there for a little bit today, and then follow the Lord's commands, first command being in believer's baptism. So as we look here again at the slide we're on, notice again that there's things that we must do. And then we're up to a soldier must above all have the shield of faith. And so we looked at the shield of faith, and again, as we did that, our footwear, and again, the Bridge to Recovery assignment, I signed again a couple times that you take your notebook and you write out. I think I gave that assignment to Jerry this week again, that you take a notebook and you write out these 12 verses. And boy, it's good for us to do that. I've done that for several weeks now, again, in my notebooks, until my notebooks aren't filled yet, but again, there's ample space. And so, again, I encourage you, don't be afraid to just sit down and write them out. And I always copy them out of my Bible, because I never do punctuation perfect unless I do. And so, being able to, again, know that road inward, forward and backwards and inside out, to know the Romans road. That's our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. In the Bridge to Recovery assignment, that's assignment one. Assignment two is, again, how to give a personal testimony, and then to write out your own personal salvation testimony. And trust me, that's a good thing for all of us to do. If you've not done it and handed a copy to your kids, that's a better thing to do. To, again, people know that you're saved. At your funeral, they should be able to stand up and read your salvation testimony that you wrote yourself. That'd be a good thing, praise the Lord. And so, again, to understand that we have to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now let's move on and look at, above all, taking the shield of faith. Let's just look up a couple of these verses. I want to do some things with our faith here today that's new for me. And I've seen this again this past week and said, oh, wow, this is good stuff. Let's see if we can fit it into this little discussion about faith. Let's first turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles, called the Hall of Fame of Faith again. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it begins with these two verses. Someone told me in Bible school that this is not a definition of faith, but it's the best definition you'll ever find, okay? And so don't rely on even Noah Webster's definition of faith when you got what God said about faith here in Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, now faith is. Let's stop right there and remember that faith is a noun. And Paul says to the Colossian church, I have seen your faith, because faith is a noun. But faith actually consists of what one believes. And so when I figured out that believe is the same Greek word as faith, one's a noun, one's a verb, just a little different ending on them. Boy, that helped me somehow to understand that that's what we're talking about. When people say, do you have faith? They're asking, is there something that you believe? And certainly we believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the Bible. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Bible. Okay, so we believe the Bible, and the Bible increases our faith. Faith is believing. And again, once we make that connection, that, at least for me, I've got a small mind, I guess, but that sure helped me a lot to understand that now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. So think of those two things. There's a substance of what we're hoping for. That's what we believe is going to unfold, is going to happen. In the Bible, it says talks about having a hope. And again, that's not a, I hope it's going to be a nice day today kind of a hope. A hope is something that we have as an assurance that this is going to happen in the Old English. And so when you see that hope, again, understand it's an understanding of what is going, future tense, going to happen. Hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that Jesus is the Word, and we know that this book is the Word. We know here faith is the substance of things hoped for. But here we also know that, hey, this book is a book of faith. This is where faith comes from. It's what our faith is in. Our faith is in the book. Our faith is in God of the book. So now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, and the earth, the space, and the mass that's in it. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I love that verse. It's become the heart, the centerpiece of my doctoral thesis on six-day creation, that it's an ex nihilo, a creation. He created out of nothing. And here's a verse that backs that up and says it resoundingly. And so again, when we look now at this faith, it's just a matter of believing. And so above all, taking the shield of faith. And so in our picture here of the soldier, notice we have that 4 foot high, 3 foot wide shield again. That is again a shield pictured by Paul here in Ephesians chapter 6 as our faith, a shield of faith. And so we want to look at that emphatically, but look at the verse again. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so there's a lot said about that. A shield of faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved, it is through faith. That's all that produces salvation. It is our faith that saves us. Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't take a church. It doesn't take water baptism. It doesn't take all the things that religions want to add to our life. It doesn't take beads or penance. It doesn't take getting on your hands and knees and crawling anywhere or kissing anybody's ring. It involves, again, only faith to believe the Bible and to be saved. And so, again, we see that in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart. 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. And then Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when we're looking at this subject of faith, notice again, it's important that we understand and make the relationship of our shield being our faith. I'd like to revisit this picture we did before. This is the Roman shield in use. And the Romans had a tortoise formation that became a stronghold, one of their famous descriptions. It was a defensive shield wall used by Roman legionaries, particularly during sieges, where soldiers would hold their shields overhead and to the sides, creating a protective shell against projectiles and attacks from above. And so again, notice there are several pictures here of that formation of shields, again, to provide protection, to storm the walls with an actual protection of shields all the way around them. And so again, I want to emphasize here the importance of uniting with other believers. Here, when we read that, when I've read that all these years, I've always pictured me with my little shield. But boy, a shield is an important thing. I think we had that in a picture coming up. I could be wrong. Up to Chilon, they had the shield. Brother brought his shield up there. And so we used that again in one of the prayer times they had up there. And it was up on the stand. But we didn't have a group of shields, but we had the one shield. And notice again, just as the Roman soldiers, banding their shields together, make a powerful, mighty military, Christians banding together in the faith make a powerful spiritual might. The gates of hell, the Bible says, shall not prevail against it. And we are to unite with born-again, saved believers in a Bible-believing Baptist church. And I believe that, and I emphasize the importance of that, is that we band together, the importance of the church. And it's so important that we band together here and use, indeed, our faith in that way. And so when we look here at this formation, notice again that when we gather together with others, our faith is strengthened. When we gather together and lock shields, as it were, with others, we can edify others. We can protect others. We can build a unit that has something called synergism. I put a noun here, description of that. Synergism is the interaction of two or more organizations or agents to produce, listen, a combined effect that is greater than the sum of their separate parts. In Sunday school, we talked a little bit about how big our church ain't. And listen, we was in a church in over 1,000 when we was in college out there in Columbus, and under Pastor Devendorf. And Pastor, his name escapes me right now. Denhoff, Pastor Denhoff. And we're in a church of over 1,000. And we talk, oh, wow, I'd never fit in. Listen, you fit in with the group that you're sitting with. So there's a group that sits here, and you know, we know everybody that sat around us. You listen, you sit in you fit in with the group when you're running the bus route with them. You fit in with the group when you're teaching Sunday school and the other Sunday school teachers around you. You do fit in with the group when, again, you're running the junior church or in the junior church and a helper in junior church. Listen, when you're in a big church, you better fit in, or else, again, that whole picture of the shield uniting together is slack, is missing something. And so we lock together with shields, and we can do more, again, than we can even here in a small church. Good luck again working on the bus route here. You know where that begins. You're going to have to get out there and get a bus and start the thing, because we don't have one. Good luck again working in the Sunday school department. We don't have one again, but we need Sunday school classes that again would reach out and teach. That's the synergism of gathering together with other believers, because we can do more when we're gathered together with other believers. And that's the purpose of this formation of locked together faith. Down there, the illustration was given because they have such a tremendous song service that, a Christian can take their shield of faith and sing a solo. That's great, okay? But it's better harmony if you could get a duet. And it's even better harmony when you can get a trio. And wow, down there, when they got a quartet together that sings Stamps Baxter's music with four-part harmony, I mean, it is tremendous. And so again, notice that one individual cannot do that. It takes, again, a group banding together. And that's the purpose of the church, is so that we can band together with other believers and accomplish something. And so notice here again, we have that picture in the ensemble and in the joining to the choir. Choir with that great bunch of voices all blended together, each one doing their part, is a tremendous thing. But again, it's not one person. It's a synergism where, again, a group has far more effect than the singular. A large church has far more effect than a little church that doesn't have buses, doesn't have these outreaches. And so never be afraid of, again, of a big church that's built on the right foundation. It's got the parts that are needed to, again, so that everybody can be fit into a part. And again, when we do that, we don't come to church to get something out of it. We come to church to put something into it. We don't come to church because we got to go listen to the preacher. No, we come to church so that we can be involved in edifying. We can be involved in encouraging. We can be involved in outreaching. We can be involved in programs of the church that, again, gets things done. And so, again, that's part here of this idea of having our faith being a part of a body wherewith one may edify another, the Bible says. Where we can comfort yourselves together. I think I had all these verses on a previous slide. So let's go ahead and look at them. Romans 14:19. After your salvation, get into a Bible-believing church with born-again believers. And again, if you're in a church, and there's a lot of them, there's some that I even counsel with, that they're in a church where some people, they're in a Methodist church, where some of them get saved by accepting Jesus as their Savior, and then hoping and expecting that as they go to church, God will make them good enough to deserve to go to heaven. That's the United Methodist doctrinal statement of what salvation is. If you come to church and teach Sunday school and work in the church, God will make you good enough to go to heaven. Listen, that's not Bible. That's denominationalism. Go to the Presbyterian church. We just drove by one. It's got a rainbow flag tagged out front. And so even in a non-apostate Presbyterian church, you get saved by being chosen before the foundation of the earth. You don't get saved by coming to an altar and asking Jesus Christ to save you. You get saved because God chose you before the foundation of the earth. And so being in a church that's of like faith and practice with this book is crucial. And a person that's in another church, oh, they got some of the best teaching. Have you heard Joyce preach? She's one of the best expounders of Scripture. Listen, it doesn't matter when you're in an apostate church. It doesn't matter when you're gathered together with a group of believers that are not born again the way you got born again. And so again, the emphasis needs to be on being in and united with other believers. That's where we're going to get a synergism. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherein one may edify another. When we gather here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, it should be for the purpose that we can edify one another. That we could, again, be an encourager, be a strength. That we could give an assurance that, hey, I'm praying for you, my brother. I'm praying for you, my sister. And to be encouragers in the church. That's what we do here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do, he said to those Thessalonians, that they're doing that. When they gather themselves together, they edify. If you're edifying, you know what you're building? An edifice. You know the difference between an edifice and a house? I still remember driving with the kids. We used to go all the way to Seneca Falls back to get them into the Christian school up there. And we'd drive through Geneva, and I'd always say, look at that house. That is an edifice. And we stopped and picked up a guy in Geneva there and said he lived in an edifice. He didn't live in a house. He lived in an edifice, a great big, huge mansion. with three stories and pillars and everything. And I said, that is an edifice. And listen, that's what the Bible's talking about, to edify. It's not to build a shabby little cabin here on earth. It's to build us up so that we're something marvelous to behold. And so we are to edify here one another. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Notice again that all the exhortation needn't come from the preacher. We're to be exhorting one another. We're to be encouraging one another. We'll be talking about the battle, the war, the importance of soul winning, the importance of telling others to each other here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and be exhorting and encouraging and edifying one another. And so there we have the verses in the Bible. Here we have the portrayal that our faith locked together, and just as the Romans locked their shields together, could do greater challenges, could do greater things than anyone individually. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And listen, we see the day approaching. So here again for an assignment for the Bridge to Recovery exercise, I put again that you should write out Ephesians 6:16 about faith. Above all else, taking the shield of faith. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Romans 14:9. To edify. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. To comfort and to edify. And again, to know these verses and to understand that a church has a ability again to gather believers together and accomplish more than any one a believer can accomplish on your own. And we gather together. I've looked at, again, the charge on several, and heard it from several pastors, that going door to door is a good thing, but always have a partner with you. Always take someone. That's so if you get shot, there'll be someone to drag you out and call the police. No, that's not it at all. The purpose is that we need somebody to make us accountable. And boy, that's true, again, to go out with somebody who gives account for what you say and for what you do. And I've had partners that I go with, and I'm ready to quit and say, that's enough of this block. I say, no, let's just hit one more door. Let's just hit one more. And so an encourager, a helper, one who exhorts, because two can create more, can do more than one voice crying in the wilderness. And so again, here as we look at this concept, I'd have us again remember the importance of banding together in a church. And even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, as our numbers dwindle, we don't have a van anymore. We don't run bus routes. We don't run a Thursday visitation. I got more things listed that we don't do that we used to do again. But boy, I want to encourage you that we still need to band together. We still need to accomplish more because we gather here to worship. We gather on Wednesday to pray. And that there is a synergism when you gather with other believers. And we want to take full advantage of that and appreciate that we can, even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And so as we consider this again, I'd have us again have a little bit more dimension to that phrase in verse 15 that says, your feet shod. Whoops, sorry, wrong verse. Then verse 16 that says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that shield of faith can protect our home. It can protect others. That shield of faith can be taken to the hospital and make a hospital call. That shield of faith can be an encouragement when we go to lost loved ones and they see our faith. As Paul said, I have seen your faith, and praise the Lord. Listen, people around us need to see our faith. Remember, faith is what we believe and put our faith into action again, and other people can see our faith, and that's good for us. We don't have all the outreaches that we need here, but listen, we do have an ability to prepare our feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel, and then to go out and find somebody that we can tell about the gospel. And so we asked again last week that you again write down those 12 verses. This week we'd ask that you pray, and we'll pray that each one here in this room has an opportunity to share that gospel with somebody, and then has the wherewithal and the gumption to do it. And so this week, let's go ahead and take inventory and see if we can again find a time, find a place where we can share the gospel with somebody. And the Medicare salesman that calls does not count, okay? Let's talk to a real person would be good, praise the Lord. I'd have recited the whole, if you got one of those AI, I got several AI computers on there that talk to you, and they actually respond when you ask them a question. It's kind of bizarre, but I don't think they're going to get saved by any means, and I don't know who all listens to those recordings by any means. But we need to, again, be eager and about the Father's business, at least here, to share the gospel. Springtime's rolling in, and again, every springtime, I've always, in years gone by, we've started pounding on doors in the springtime, and again, going door to door. I don't know if I have the energy to pursue that this year, but again, understand that we need to be sharing the gospel with others. We need to preach the gospel to others, and that preach has an idea that we're going to put the ball in their court and let them know that the decision is on them, and that we could again just pray together, one for another here, that we'd each have an opportunity to do that. Father, praise you again, and thank you. Thank you for the shield of faith. Thank you that it could not only protect us from fiery darts, but Lord, it could protect our family, could protect our loved ones, that we could lock together with the faith of others and protect more than just our own soul. And so I pray again that you'd help us to use that shield of faith even as a Roman soldier would in days gone by. And Father, that we could again interlock our faith here with other believers to accomplish great things at Good Samaritan Baptist Church even. And Father, also that you'd help us this week to be able to share the saving gospel with somebody. Open the doors, lead us to somebody, kick us and point us to them that we'd recognize, here's my opportunity. And then, Father, help us again to be your witnesses. That's why you left us here. And I'll thank you again, Father, for hearing our prayer and causing again that we could do just that this week. And we'll give you all the praise. We do love you. Thank you that we could worship together this morning. Thank you for the power of your word. And thank you that from it comes faith. Help ours, we pray. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. Let's dismiss by standing and singing, Christ for me. That's why we live here. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being here today.